Today's podcast is brought to you by Something Blue by Anita Kay, specializing in wedding and event photography. Visit her page on Facebook. For those in love, capture those memories with Something Blue by Anita Kay.
This is Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast with Mark Poulos.
So fuck you and fuck your baby and fuck your wife.
Why fuck them all?
Does he have headphones? We're recording at a barbecue gas station.
We're not pausing this to put a baby in there. So you can just stop it right.
You're half drunk and high and trying to read a map.
First off, all right, here we go.
We're on the edge of the Grand Canyon.
That's my whole job when I'm on the road is protecting my butt.
Stoner!
And the fat man.
He says, man, you really need to turn your life around.
Fuck you, Mark. Mark Poulos, everybody!
Hello, folks, and welcome back to the Unbridled Enthusiasm Podcast. This is another edition of The Ride Home. It is Father's Day, and I'm driving back from Milwaukee. I worked 2 days at Joker's Comedy Club in Milwaukee. And if you're not familiar with Joker's Comedy Club in Milwaukee, it's interesting because it's attached to like a complex where there's it's a comedy club and then a UFC bar, and then on the other side there's a five-star strip club called Silk. And it's just a really strange room because it's obvious that the people that own the complex love stand-up comedy because they put a shit ton of money into the comedy club downstairs. It's beautiful. The food there is really great. But it's just like, while you're trying to do the show, like, the stripping is going on upstairs. And obviously, strippers nowadays, they don't dance like they used to like AC/DC and Lynyrd Skynyrd. They're always dancing to Kanye or Ludacris or something. And there's just so much bass going on upstairs. It sounds like the movie Jurassic Park. But it was a fun time. I got to work with good friend Zach Martina. Very funny guy, out of his freaking mind, but he's a good guy. And it's so funny because the way the show shook out, we had an MC who was from Milwaukee, and then there was a guest spot that showed up, and he ended up doing guest spots at all 4 shows, which just seems crazy, but I guess he didn't have anything else going on that weekend. I thought the MC was, like, really good. You know, he's only been doing comedy for, like, 2 years or something, but his writing is really, really good. The guest spot, however, he was funny, but he had kind of that air about him that he kind of wrote like the lowest common denominator, you know, like, and that's kind of what happens, you know, when you first start out in comedy, you're only a year in, you know, you're fucking 22 years old, you're going to write what you know, and that's, you know, drinking and smoking weed and all that kind of stuff. So it's like, you know, the more he does it, I'm sure he'll kind of get the idea that he's going to need to make his own mark in the business and be a little bit more, not necessarily odd, but original, you know, and personal, you know, I think is the key to this business nowadays. It is kind of funny how, like, stand-up comedy in the 80s was very, like, kind of outside looking in. You know, the comedy was very, like, reportive, like just reporting on what you saw and things on the news. And, you know, a lot of jokes in the 80s started out with read this in the paper today or saw this on TV today. You know, it wasn't very personal. And that's kind of the funny thing that's happened, I feel like, in the last maybe 10 years or even more than that, is this sense of stand-up comedy having to be very personal to your life. You know, it seems like the people that are successful and the people that make it on to Comedy Central and Access and Conan and stuff like that is that 5 to 7 minutes that they do on TV is so well crafted. You kind of get a sense of who the person is immediately, you know. That's kind of how all the jokes are set up, is like, oh, this is the kind of guy that I'm watching. Like, I know who he is immediately. And you hear that so much, especially on Last Comic Standing, when the comics go up there and they do their 7 minutes. And the judges are always like, you know, it was funny, but I don't know anything about you. And it's just like, why is that a fucking point to stand-up comedy nowadays? You can't just be funny. Now it has to be some kind of personal story that really gets to the heart of the person while they're on stage, you know? And that's the shitty thing about any reality TV, because I was talking to a friend of mine who has a friend who's like a 5-star chef. And he's like an amazing chef. Like, he does original shit. People love his cooking. And he was actually like a finalist to get on that, I think it was like Master Chef or the next Food Network star or some bullshit like that. But they turned him down, not because he wasn't a good cook, but because he didn't have a good story. Like, he was a single guy in his 40s who was successful young, you know, saved his money, and, you know, was a part owner in a restaurant and just, like, cooked really good food. Like, that wasn't a good enough story for them. You know, they need the lady, you know, who was kidnapped at 11, you know, and she somehow was forced to cook for her captors, and that's how she learned how to be a good chef, you know. And then once she learned how to be a good chef, she stabbed her captors with her chef knife, and that's still the chef knife that she uses to this day to show that she has come out of it a new person or whatever bullshit. It's just like, yeah, I get it. Everybody has a sad story. Everybody has horrible things that have happened in their lives. And I don't understand why these reality shows have to, like, force that so much. And I think, at least for me, the thing that makes me cringe the most when I watch, like, I'll flip around and I'll catch a trailer for a new reality show that's coming out, is, you know, like, all of these people that are doing the reality shows, they're basically going off a formula, you know? They use all the buzzwords and all the catchphrases, you know? So it's like you watch a trailer for a reality show now, and it's like, somebody's like, I gotta tell you, I'm all in. And then they cut to the next lady, and she's like, you know, I'm kind of, I just saw the, when I was leaving my hotel room to get in the car to drive home, I just saw the trailer for the new Food Network star show as I was flipping around, and it was just like a barrage of these catchphrases, and now I'm fucking blanking on all of them. I just remember the one where she said, I'm all in, and, or it was like, we're gonna take this to the next level, or, I'm gonna show them something they've never seen before, or, it's my time, you know. It's like, what the fuck are we doing here? It's, you're cooking eggs Benedict, okay? You're not all in. This isn't the greatest moment of your life. Yes, if you win Food Network Star, you'll probably get quite a bit of money, you know, and you'll have your 15 minutes, and you'll be able to ride that for a while, and, you know, write a book on how you went from being a McDonald's cook to being the next Food Network star. But it's just like, these people on the reality shows, they talk like it's the end all be all. Like, this is their life or nothing, you know. But I don't know what we're doing, but it's gotten to the point now where I think everybody out there that's, I don't know what the cutoff would be, like, somebody, all the people that are in the country right now that are under 30, I feel like, have this sense that they should be famous, you know? Like, and that's the thing, it's very weird nowadays, because back in the day, just having a job was enough for somebody, you know? Having a job that they could count on 5 days a week, 40 hours a week, that was enough money to support their family up until they retire, was enough. And it just doesn't seem like people have that feeling anymore, that finding a solid job at a good company that you can count on for like 30 years of employment to retirement just isn't good enough, you know? And I get that feeling. Obviously, I'm in a business. I chose a business that doesn't have any walls or parameters. I kind of am my own boss, and, you know, I write my own rules, and I wouldn't have it any other way, because I had that sense myself when I was younger. Not that I necessarily wanted to be a stand-up comic or that I wanted to be famous, just the fact that working a 40-hour week job just didn't seem like it was the only way, you know? And there's a sense of that too nowadays, where I think maybe back in the day, that's all there was. Like, that was the only, there was no, you know, podcasting or creating your own website stores or, you know, coming up with, you know, original cooking product ideas that you could launch with a marketing plan on your own, or, you know, being an independent filmmaker and all that kind of stuff. Like, there's a lot of doors that have opened in the last few years for people to kind of make their own way in the world, which is great, but I think the side effect of that is every single person that's alive, that's under 30, in America anyways, feels like they should have their 15 minutes of fame at some point, you know? So they're doing crazy fucking YouTube videos, or, you know, they're doing a podcast, or they're trying to be the greatest person on Twitter or Instagram. And I don't know, man. It just, I feel like it causes problems, because you're hard-pressed nowadays to find a young person that is feeling good about just having a summer job at McDonald's, you know? It's not good enough, you know? And where there was like a sense of sense of pride having a job, now it's almost like there's a sense of embarrassment if a kid's working at McDonald's and his friends come in the summer, you know, like, they're going to make fun of him. Like, look at this guy working at McDonald's, you know? It's like, well, what the fuck are you doing, you know? You're spending your summer walking around, causing problems, you know? Pulling your balls out and making vines, you know? This guy's actually making money to pay for his education, And I don't know, man. I was reading this article the other day about the destruction of the college system, and I feel like it's only a matter of time before that whole thing collapses. Because, A, it's way too fucking expensive to go to college nowadays. And I don't know if having that college degree means as much as it used to. You know? And people might be surprised to find out that I have a Bachelor of Arts. I have a college degree from a major university, from the University of Minnesota. And I obviously do nothing with it because I'm a stand-up comedian. You don't need a college degree to be a stand-up comedian. But you know, it was something that my parents instilled in me young. They said, you know, go get your college degree, and then after that, you can do whatever the hell you want to do with your life. But now you have this college degree to fall back on if you ever need it. And I'm glad they pushed for that because, you know, it's there now. It's in the cupboard, you know. If for some reason I couldn't do stand-up comedy anymore and I had to get a real job back home, which I would be fine with, I have a college degree that'll put me a little bit ahead of some other people, but is it that far ahead of other people, you know? How much nowadays does experience and personality equate towards your college degree? Because that's another thing I find, like, in comedy especially, but in all other businesses, it's almost like people hire nowadays with a sense of who's going to be my best friend instead of who's the best person for the job, you know? Back in the day, people would hire people to do a job that were the best person for that job. And nowadays, it's almost like this feeling of, you know, they're qualified, they know how to do the job, they have the experience, but what kind of person are they? Will they go out and have some drinks with me? Or will they be a good addition to my Sunday golf crew from work or whatever? And I don't know, man. There's a little bit of that in the business world now, too, and I get it. You know, it's very fast-paced. It's very, you know, personable and face-to-face. So you need a sense of that, but I don't know. It just gets... I think my biggest problem nowadays is, you know, I'd say maybe like the 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, even 80s, maybe a little bit of the 90s. There was a feeling amongst parents that your children came first no matter what. You know, your needs were important, but they always took a back seat to taking care of your children. And nowadays, it just feels like, and I, you know, to a point, I understand it. You know, there's people that have kids that are unplanned, or they have them very young, and they feel like they're missing out on things. So as time goes by and they're raising their kids, they still want to have this sense of self. So, you know, they put themselves first instead of their kids. And I think that is horrendous. Like, I don't mind taking a back seat to my children's needs. Like, when you have a child, truthfully, it's all about them now. You should be a parent first, everything else second, you know? People, you know, they're so surprised, like, you know, well, my kid is, you know, he's a nightmare, like, he doesn't listen, and he's out there doing horrible shit, and, well, yeah, because you weren't being a parent first, you know? I think the worst thing in the world that you can do for a kid nowadays is disconnect, you know? You know, you're out doing your own thing all day, all night, and they're home all by themselves with nothing but time on their hands. You know, they haven't been shown how to live, you know? They haven't been shown what to do with their day. They haven't been shown respect and responsibility, you know? A lot of kids out there have to raise themselves. I mean, there was, I don't know what station had it on, but it was like a fucking show about I'm raising my parents, where it was all about these kids that had parents that were really fucking immature. And like the one girl, it was like a single mom and a daughter, and the daughter was like 15 and the mom was like, you know, in her 40s or whatever. And she'd been married for like 20 years and she just got divorced. And like her daughter was going through a lot of stuff and really needed her mom to lean on. But instead, her mom was like out every night at the bars, like hoochamomming on all these young dudes. And it's just like, I get it, you know. She wants to live too, which is fine, but Jesus Christ, where's the compromise? Like 5 days a week, you're out rubbing up on dudes while your daughter's home doing all the dishes and cleaning the house and making dinner for the even younger sister who was like 7. It's like, I don't know what goes through people's mind at that point. You have a 7-year-old at home and a 15-year-old at home, and you're out 5 nights a week drinking and dancing on dudes. It's like, I'm not saying you can't do that, but why can't you do that twice a month or every Saturday? I'd be fine with that. But 5 days a week, Jesus Christ. But it's just amazing to me, the people that are allowed to have children, you know. And it's like the saddest thing in the freaking world, man, you know. You got all these people that have no respect for life and have no interest in being a parent. And then when they have kids, they're like the worst parent ever. And those are the people that, like, they're at a party and some dude just like sticks the tip in and they get pregnant like 8 seconds later. And then it's like these people that are amazing people, you know, they're church going and they're good in their community and you know, they give back and they donate and, you know, all they want in the world is to have a baby. And these are the people that are spending thousands of dollars at the, you know, fertility clinics, and they're on the adoption lists and the surrogate lists and all this stuff, and they just can't somehow put it together. And those are the people that don't get a baby, you know. It's just sickening, you know. Like, people, obviously there's certain people in the country that take having a baby for granted, you know. They're like a fucking Pez machine. They rub up next to a dude and they're pregnant. They just don't understand how hard it is for some people to have a baby, you know. It's not something you should take for granted. And like, how much argument there is in the country about when it's a human, you know. It's like, yeah, I understand the argument in the beginning of conception. I get the argument. I am obviously on the side of as soon as the sperm enters the egg, that's a human. Like, that's my point of view. But some people drive me fucking nuts where they try to argue all the way up to the day of birth that's not a person until the baby comes out of the mother, which is just, I don't get it. I don't know how you can make that argument. If there's a heartbeat, how are you arguing that that's not a person? I mean, there was that case a couple months ago where this lady was out of her goddamn mind and put an ad on Craigslist to like sell baby clothes. And this poor mother that was struggling and having a baby on her own showed up there to buy the clothes, and she fucking attacked her and cut the baby out of her stomach and killed it. Let me say that again, because it's a very horrifying thing. And to tell you the truth, I wish I had not seen that story or read it, because it kind of haunts me a little bit every day. She cut the lady's stomach open and pulled her baby out and killed it. They ruled that that was not a homicide. They ruled it as a first-degree assault and attempted murder. What? The lady was like 7 or 8 months pregnant or something. And the argument of the court was the baby, and I don't know how the fuck they proved this at all, but somehow they proved that the baby didn't take a breath outside of the womb, so it wasn't considered a baby. It was still considered a fetus. Fucking blows my mind. I don't get it. But that's the shit we deal with in this country, you know? You got that doctor, wherever he was, like, doing third-term abortions where he's, like, pulling babies out of people and choking them. Listen, I don't want to talk about that. This is a funny, funny podcast. This isn't a sad podcast. And truthfully, I don't know how the fuck I got on this subject. I'm driving home on Father's Day. I don't want to be talking about this stuff. We talk about funny stuff. So let's talk about comedy. Let's go back to that. So I don't know how the hell I got that far off track. But I was in Milwaukee. I performed there quite a bit, and I like Milwaukee. It is funny. I've probably told this on the podcast before, but I don't think it was last year, but maybe the year before. I worked in Milwaukee on my birthday, and one of the days, I think it was at my actual birthday, I decided to go get a slice of pizza at this, you know, you get, it's called the Brick Oven or something, downtown Milwaukee, really good pizza, but they sell it by the slice, like most college towns do. So I got myself a slice of pizza, and I came outside, and it was like close to bar close. There were a bunch of like college douchebags like hanging around on the street. I pop out of the pizza place and I'm heading back to my hotel, and this kid on the street, he's like, "Hey man, can I have that pizza?" And I go, "What?" He goes, "Can I have that pizza? I'm hungry." And I go, "Go get your own." And he's like, "Oh, you're not going to give me that pizza?" And I was like, "No, I just bought it. I'm going to eat it." And then he was like, "Well, enjoy your pizza, fat ass." And I was like, "What?" I stopped in the street and I was just like, and he goes, "Yeah, you heard what I said." And that kind of stuck with me for a while, because I stood there for a sec and I'm like, I've never been an angry person. I've never been a violent person. And I'm like, I'm married. I had a daughter at that point. I'm like, I can't get into a fist fight with a college douchebag on the street. A, I've never been in a fist fight, and B, if his buddies decide to like join in, I could really get hurt, and there's no point for that, you know. I just kind of walked away, but it kind of stuck with me for a while. I was like, man, I should really like knock this fucking kid out, you know. Because I'm just like, who says that? What a douchebag. Just because I won't give it to him, he's like, "Enjoy your pizza, fat ass." And I was just like, this is ridiculous. But that was just such a weird trip. Because that same trip, I needed to go to Walmart. And I asked the guy at the club, I said, "Hey, where's the closest Walmart?" And he gave me directions to it, and I don't think he really thought about it, but the Walmart that he gave me directions to was, like, the worst Walmart in the history of the world. Like, it was in a horrible neighborhood, and I got out of my car, and I'm like, man, I don't feel safe at this Walmart, but I was like, I need to get some shit. I went in there. You know, it wasn't that bad. It was just that it seemed like a really bad neighborhood. But I got the shit I needed to get, and I came out to my car and scared the shit out of me. I'm like putting my stuff in my trunk, and this guy came up to me and he had a face tattoo, and I guess he was just like walking around trying to sell his rap single for like a dollar, trying to get discovered. And he came and talked to me. At first, I was kind of baffled. I'm like, why would this guy come talk to a giant, weird, white guy? Like, I'd be interested in rap music. But as I thought about it for a while, I was like, maybe he thinks that I'm, like, a music producer or something. You know, being the only white guy in the Walmart parking lot. But it was kind of a terrifying conversation because I'm just like, if I say no, like, is this guy going to freak out on me? So I tried to make it silly, and I was like, I go, man, congratulations on, like, you know, doing your own thing. And I go, but I got Neil Diamond queued up in the car. I got no interest for that. I apologize. And he kind of laughed and walked away. But the funny part was he just left. Like, there was tons of people in the parking lot, and he didn't talk to anybody else. He just talked to me and left. And I was like, I was like, did he get off the bus and see me and was like, that's the guy that's going to take me to the top of the rap game? And I'm like, me? Like, I'm, I don't know. But it was a pretty interesting time in Milwaukee that time. This time it was, you know, it was pretty calm. Wasn't that much crazy stuff going on. The Saturday early show yesterday was pretty out of control. There was a bus of like 30 people that were doing a bachelorette party, and they were so freaking drunk, man. And those are the tough times to deal with it because it's summertime, so a lot of comedy clubs struggle in the summer to get people in. So that show, there was about like 75 people at it, so it's like that group of 30 was pretty much close to 50% of the audience. So what do? You know, they're so drunk and loud. You can't throw them out because now half the crowd's gone and you're going to lose all that drink and food money. So you kind of have to deal with it and roll with the punches and stuff. And so what some comics don't understand, you know, they just don't learn how to deal with that shit. You know, they shut down and freak out and bail early off stage, you know. It's so funny how many comics just like, they just leave the stage. You know, they're like, I don't have to deal with this, and then they just leave, you know. Because that's another thing in the comedy business right now is like, I feel like there's a lot of stand-ups that they don't want to go the traditional route, you know. They don't want to like be an MC for a couple years, learn the ropes, and then become a feature and be a feature for like 3 or 4 years, and then kind of get the hang of like doing one-nighters and bar shows and everything like that and working their way up to the top. I feel like they just want to go from 0 to 60, you know. They want to start comedy and then a year later be headlining. They just don't understand the nuances in between, you know. But that's comedy, you know. Everybody wants to be the headliner. Everybody wants to be, you know, the featured act. Nobody wants to pay their dues, you know. I was there myself, you know, thinking that I was better than I really was, you know. And it's like certain shows kind of teach you how not ready you are, you know. And the only way you know is by doing it, you know. This guy told me early on in the business, if anybody ever asks you to do anything, just say yes and figure it out later. That's a good philosophy, you know, but it's hard when you get there and realize that you haven't done the homework and you're not going to be able to pull it off. Like, I got asked to do 60 minutes at a church for like $400. And at the time, I maybe had like 15 minutes of really clean material. And I thought to myself, well, I can figure it out. No, I didn't figure it out. I bailed at like 30 minutes. People complained. I didn't get paid. It was just a horrible thing. But you gotta have those shows. You gotta learn what your limits are and what you can and can't do, you know. But it makes you a stronger comic, you know. I've never gotten off stage where the show has been amazing and like every joke that I told just destroyed, and thought to myself, well, I learned a lot from that show. No, it's the shows where there's like 6 people and you're just dying a horrible death up there, and people are telling you you suck. Those are the shows where you grow, you know. An early show last night, that was definitely a growing experience. But they were cool people, you know. They bought some shirts after the show, so that was fun. But it was good to be back in Milwaukee, and I'm happy to be driving home on Father's Day to hang out with my family, and it's going to be a good time. But thanks for tuning in. You can always get the podcast at Stitcher, Tuned In, iTunes, and Podbean. Got a bunch of dates coming up for the fall and the winter. I just updated my website. Check out largedrunkman.com. And yeah, tune in next time when we talk about who knows.